Hi everyone and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. Today we will be covering season 1 episode 9 of the Vampire Diaries and the episode title is History Repeating. So in the previous episode we were introduced to Lexi, but unfortunately she was killed by Damon by the end of the episode. We also had like a sweet little moment between Caroline and Matt, and we ended the episode with Bonnie waking up at the tomb and seeing Emily Bennett. And this episode was yet another jam-packed episode. So much stuff happened, so we have a lot to cover. So let's begin by taking a look at the first scene. We finally see the Mystic Fall High School students in a class that isn't a history class. And we see Bonnie in this class, and she keeps on yawning. She looks really tired, and she keeps seeing the shadow of Emily Bennett. And she sort of wakes up, and she's in the woods again by the tomb. And Emily keeps on saying again and again that Bonnie has to help her. When I first watched this, I was really creeped out by Emily. And even when I rewatch it now, she really, really creeps me out. And I think that she could have been less creepy about it. Like, the way she haunts Bonnie is actually pretty scary. And I get that she needs Bonnie's help, but she could have gone about it in a more different way, I think. The actress who plays Emily Bennett was actually in Pretty Little Liars. The Vampire Diaries era was when I think Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl and Pretty Little Liars were like the top three CW shows. They were the top three teen shows. And Pretty Little Liars is actually the only one that I haven't finished watching before. I've only watched like half of season one, but it's such a popular series. You know, they've had so many spin-offs. I think even now they're doing a spin-off. So that is a series that I really want to watch. And it did kind of give me Vampire Diaries vibes, kind of, I guess, because it's like, you know, from the same generation. So in the future, I'm definitely gonna have to rewatch that. But yeah, anyways, she's from that TV series. She also played a vampire, apparently, and she was also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I think. And I've seen many memes about this Emily actress and how she never ages and how she's like a vampire herself. And I saw pictures from like the 90s and the early 2000s, and she hasn't aged at all. Elena and Caroline are walking to school together, and Caroline's kind of venting to Elena. She said that she's really annoyed with Bonnie, and then Caroline sees Matt and they have this like awkward hey moment, but then he walks off. So things are kind of awkward between them after the time they spent together in the previous episode. So we are introduced to a new character, Alaric. So this episode marks the first appearance of him, and he is actually going to be a main character in the ongoing episodes or ongoing series. So he's a pretty major character. I found it really funny how he was writing his name on the chalkboard and was commenting on how to pronounce it. So he writes Alaric Saltzman. He goes on about explaining the name's origins. He says it's not Alaric, it's Alaric. But then he ends up saying, just call me Rick. So maybe that would have been easier to say from the start, but I guess he wants to point out the correct way to pronounce it. So he's a new history teacher. He's replaced Mr. Tanner. And, you know, in this episode, he seemed pretty cooler than Mr. Tanner. He'll probably be more liked by the students, I think. But this actor was actually in Legally Blonde. And I, myself, didn't watch Legally Blonde until, like, last year when I decided to, like, have, like, a 90s film binge watch. And I noticed that he was in Legally Blonde, and I was like, wow, that's Alaric when he was younger. But I think for most people, it's probably the other way around. You would have seen Legally Blonde first and then recognized him as the actor from that movie. At the Salvador house, Damon is trying to offer some human blood to Stefan. It's kind of like as a peace offering, I guess. But Stefan is obviously still pissed off at Damon because of Lexi, because of what he did. And I have to say that although Stefan is pissed off in this scene in the beginning, after that, it's almost like Lexi never even existed. Like, she was literally only there for one episode, and we didn't even see Elena, like, say anything, like, any single word about Lexi. So, I don't know, I thought I'd see Stefan more sad, but at the end of the day, he had to kind of work with Damon to find out his motives on coming back to Mystic Falls. But yeah, it was just sad that there was no more mentions of Lexi, I guess. So Damon is saying that he will do the Stefan diet for a week, which means he's not going to feed on a human for a whole week. But he mentions that as long as it's nothing with feathers, like, you know, birds or something. And then Stefan and Damon start mimicking each other, like they each try to act like the other brother. Of course, we see this ongoing in some later on scenes at the Mystic Grill. Bonnie and Elena are talking to each other at school. Bonnie's been saying that she's having these nightmares since she had this necklace. She keeps seeing Emily Bennett, who was obviously her ancestor from the Civil War. And then Bonnie asks Elena if she believes in ghosts, because obviously Bonnie doesn't know about the whole vampire thing yet. And then Elena says, 2 weeks ago I would have said no, but now she would. So it's implying that since she learned about vampires, you know, her world has been broadened. She is more open to like those supernatural aspects. If you remember when, I think it was episode 5, Elena suspected that Stefan was a vampire. She was writing in a diary and it was like that montage. She says she's not a believer. So she was never really the type to believe in those supernatural things. But since she found out the truth, she's open to anything now, basically. So Alaric is in the classroom. He's on lunch break. He's eating. And Jeremy walks in. And Alaric is basically talking to Jeremy about how he's failing and how his grades aren't good and how his old teacher, so Mr. Tanner, had a jackass file. So basically in that file, it like picks up all like the students who aren't doing well, the bad students, but it's basically mainly includes Jeremy inside it. And Alaric just trashes it and he says, don't worry about it, it's a clean slate. And you see Jeremy kind of give like a small smile. He looks relieved. And then Alaric says to Jeremy, you know, to get some extra credit, he just wants him to write a history paper. And the topic can be pretty much anything as long as it's local and no Wikipedia is allowed to be used. I mean, all teachers say that, right? You're not allowed to use Wikipedia. And I get it because Wikipedia isn't 100% accurate. But at the end of the day, I use Wikipedia like nearly every day to look up random things like, you know, birthdays of celebrities. Even though I wasn't allowed to use Wikipedia, I still sneaked it in. You know, I'd still use Wikipedia in my papers in high school and college, but I change up the words a bit. But now I've graduated, I guess. Well, I managed to graduate, so I guess it doesn't matter. Here I am. So yeah, and Alaric mentions that these old towns have a lot of rich history. And as we know, Mystic Falls does have very rich history. And Alaric says that if he writes this paper, he's basically back on track. And so from Jeremy or like a student's point of view, you know, Alaric seems to be a really cool teacher. So they shake hands and then Jeremy says, cool ring. And there's a close-up of the ring. Alaric says it's a family heirloom. You know, when we see a close-up of a ring, we kind of assume, okay, that's a daylight ring. He's a vampire. Especially because he seems to be really interested in history. So throughout this episode, they kind of throw signs that Alaric could be a vampire. I mean, I do say this in every episode. Like, I've watched this series, so I know what happens. I know which person's a vampire, which one isn't, or which one is a witch. You know, this is a rewatch podcast, so, you know, I do throw in minor spoilers, but at the same time, I don't want to spoil everything because I don't know the percentage of the listeners who are first-time watchers, so I'm just going to say, you know, leave it up to your assumptions, leave it to your assumptions on whether you think Alaric is a vampire or not. Actually, that can be the question for this episode. So for Spotify viewers, my question for this episode is, do you think Alaric is a vampire or not? I think there's like a section where you can reply to the Q&A thing. I'm guessing this is on the way back from school. So Caroline and Matt cross paths again. They say hey to each other again. And at first, you know, at first they're both walking off, but Caroline's like, actually, you know what? I need to approach him and say something. So she looks pissed. She approaches Matt. She goes back to Matt, says they spent the night cuddling and he left at the middle of the night. What a lame guy move. Which is understandable that Caroline would be pissed off. They kind of bonded and then he just left her at the middle of the night. She says she doesn't let guys mess with her anymore, so I guess she's referencing to Damon. So from this episode, we kind of sense that Caroline's over Damon now. She doesn't really feel anything for him. Matt's excuse is he heard Caroline's mom and he didn't want her to get into trouble, so he snuck out, which is understandable, you know. And he says her mom's a sheriff, so I guess they're kind of scared of Caroline's mom because, after all, she is the sheriff. And then Matt also mentions that they've been saying hey to each other since the first grade. So, you know, they've been childhood friends. So Matt is probably viewing them as just childhood friends spending night together. It's not like they did anything intimate. So he says that reading into every single situation is actually a lame girl move. So I can kind of see I can kind of see both of their point of views. Like, from Caroline's point of view, she feels abandoned, even though she doesn't feel anything romantically, maybe for Matt at this point, it's still hurtful to wake up and see that he's just gone without even saying anything and then acting like nothing happened. But from Matt's point of view, it's like, you know, they're childhood friends. They've never been romantically involved. So why is she reading into things like this? Elena has also come out of school and she sees Stefan sitting outside. And Stefan says that he won't be coming to school anymore. And technically, he doesn't even need to go to classes to pass or to graduate. I mean, he is a vampire. He can literally compel to get, you know, top grades or to compel for attendance. But he's basically implying that he's going to keep his distance from Elena. So by him not going to school, it technically means, you know, things are over between us. I don't want to get in your path. You know, Elena is obviously mad about this situation. So Stefan says, you're angry. That's good. It's easier if you hate me. And I kind of found it funny because that's not what you usually say out loud. Like, that was probably his plan to just say, to get Elena angry, to keep his distance. And if she hates him, the more easy it will be. But he didn't really need to say his plan out loud, which I kind of thought was funny. Stefan isn't the only Salvatore brother at school because we also have Damon. And Damon is there to harass Bonnie. He wants his necklace back and he's not giving up. He's not backing down. But Damon this time, instead of like forcefully trying to get it, he changes his tactic by saying that he wants to help Bonnie. And he says, let me help you get Emily off your back. Obviously, Damon knows about Emily. He knows that she's a witch. He knows that Bonnie is a witch by now. But of course, Bonnie doesn't know that he's a vampire. So from Bonnie's point of view, it must be really shocking to hear that Damon knows about Emily. It just wouldn't make sense from her point of view. But she kind of brushes it off. She doesn't really ask more about it, which I was surprised about. But I guess at the same time, Damon kind of creeps her out, which he mentions to Elena later. And Damon says to Bonnie to tell Emily that a deal is a deal. So he's made some sort of deal that involves this crystal, and as we suspected, it's probably involving Catherine. So Bonnie and Elena are driving home together. One thing I'd like to question is, so in the morning, Bonnie was in a class. I'm guessing she was in a class earlier on than Elena and Caroline. And then, because, you know, Elena and Caroline were walking in school together. But on the way back, they're driving home together. So does that mean Elena left her car or she went by the school bus? I don't know. That's like a really, really minor plot hole that probably no one cares about. But that was just one thing I was questioning. And then another thing is they literally drive through fields to get home. When I lived in the UK, it was in the countryside. It was like a small village, but the high school was in my village. So we would all walk home. But I'm not sure how it is in America. Like, is it like really far away? Because they live in Virginia. And I get that, I guess that the American countryside is on like a bigger span than the countryside in the UK, because obviously the land is way bigger, but they literally drive through fields to get home. So it makes me wonder, like, how many minutes would it take to drive? Like, I wonder how long it takes them to drive home. But then again, later on, Jenna is saying that Jeremy can walk home from the Mystic Grill. It's walkable distance. So that means they don't have to drive through fields. Yeah, I didn't really get that. Or maybe they were heading to somewhere. I don't know. It just makes me, like, those really small minor plot holes get me curious, even though the majority of viewers probably don't care about it. So anyways, they're talking about what happened with Damon. So Bonnie is talking about how, you know, Damon kind of creeped her out, keeps harassing her. And so Elena says she doesn't want Bonnie to be alone, tells her that she should sleep over for the night. Technically, that's probably not the safest option because, you know, Damon's been invited in. So if he really wanted to do something, he could just walk into the Gilbert house, you know, do something to Bonnie or Elena. So it would probably be safer for Bonnie to be in her house, actually. Oh, yes, maybe Elena's house is near the Mystic Grill and everything, but Bonnie's house might be further away. Because you remember last time Bonnie was driving Elena in the pilot episode 2. So yeah, that could be the case. I'm going to have to look that up afterwards. Like, how far the houses are from the school. That's probably not written anywhere. That's probably just left to our imagination. So, you know, Bonnie stops the car in the middle of nowhere. And she literally chucks the necklace out in the field. So she's done with it. She's done with the nightmares. She doesn't want to be involved in this supernatural ghosty thing anymore. You know, it looks like Bonnie took Elena's advice and they were at the Gilbert residence, and Elena seems to have called Stefan because he's waiting outside. And even though technically it is an issue that she wants to talk about with Stefan because it involves Damon, I think deep down she's kind of happy. Like, she wants to get to talk to Stefan as much as possible, and she doesn't want this distance thing to keep going on between them. So she says that Damon keeps on hassling Bonnie over a necklace, and this necklace belonged to one of her ancestors who was here during the Civil War. And as she's saying this out loud, it all kind of clicks together, and she's like, wait, isn't that when you and Damon were here, were living here? So I think she didn't make the reference at first, but I guess when you repeat a story out loud, you sometimes kind of like have this thought in your mind and you realize and it clicked. So Stefan says that she's Emily Bennett, so he knows about her. Emily was Catherine's handmaid, and she was also a witch. So he not only knew that Emily was a witch, but he also knew that Bonnie was a witch too. And he said that he made the connection when they first had dinner together. You remember the three of them had dinner on episode 3, Friday Night Bites. That was when Caroline and Damon came in to interrupt afterwards. But when she was talking about her ancestors, that's when he probably made the connection. And he says that he knows about the necklace. He knew about the crystal necklace. It was a necklace that Catherine gave to her. And he says that he's going to try to find out from Damon what his motives are behind it. At the grill, Jeremy and Jenna are talking about this history project, and Jenna suggests that Jeremy should look at his dad's stuff because his dad really loved family local history. And we see Alaric approach to the table to say hi, and Alaric and Jeremy are kind of already doing this like cool handshake thing. It seems like they're really close already. Alaric and Jenna are kind of flirty-ish, I guess, and you can see Jeremy looking really awkward. And at the other side of the grill, there's Stefan and Damon. They're continuing to imitate each other. You know, I guess the grill is like the only hangout spot they have. I'm guessing that the grill is really huge. Like, whenever we see scenes of it, and they even had like that party that Caroline threw in the last episode, it is a pretty spacious grill. So there's everything in it. You know, you can have coffee there, you can have alcohol, you can dance, you can play pool. It's open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh, and they have outside seats as well. So yeah, I mean, I guess they manage to serve the locals really well. And they probably make lots of money because it's not like the locals have anywhere else to go, right? Switching back to the Gilbert house, we see Caroline and Elena in the kitchen. So it seems that Elena's probably invited Caroline without telling Bonnie, because Bonnie is very surprised to see Caroline. I'm guessing Elena is trying to mediate and get them to make up with each other. Caroline does this really sassy apology to Bonnie. Like, she's just saying sorry for the sake of it. Basically, she just wants to get it over and done with. But I guess that's Caroline's way of saying sorry. So they're kind of okay for a moment, but then Bonnie says that she threw the necklace. So, you know, Caroline is like, well, if you threw it, couldn't you have given it back to me? Which makes sense. And then Elena says, oh, so you can just give it to Damon. But Caroline seems over Damon. But yeah, she's pretty done with the necklace, and she says that they're going to do manicures. So Caroline goes to get Bonnie's kit out of her bag, but then she finds the necklace in the bag. So it's really creepy, because obviously we saw Bonnie throw the necklace in the middle of the fields, but from Caroline's point of view, it's like, wow, you were lying, you kept this necklace. But Elena is there to match Bonnie's story. She says it's true, she saw her throw the necklace. And so Elena and Bonnie kind of have this moment where they're talking about Emily, saying it has to be Emily, and Caroline is feeling really left out. And she says that Bonnie and Elena always do this to her, like they're always like talking about things that she doesn't know of. And Elena tries to deny it, but Bonnie says, yeah, like she admits that they do that, because she can't talk to Caroline. She never listens. So Jeremy went off home earlier than Jenna, and I guess it's safe to walk home because it doesn't seem like there's much crime in Mystic Falls. There's literally like the vampire situation. If there was no supernatural beings, the town would probably be a really safe, peaceful town. But the safe and peacefulness does not last long, okay? It just gets more and more dangerous to be in Mystic Falls at the point where you don't want to be living there anymore. So Alaric and Jenna are talking together. Alaric asks if she's a townie, and Jenna says she's a returnee. So she left for school, but the real reason is Logan, her ex. And she says that it's Alaric's turn to give sad relationship stories. So Alaric's story is very tragic, because he says he fell in love, married young, wife died, and then it's kind of awkward. But he says that it was a cold case, And so it's probably a murder or like a missing person's case. And because we see the close-up of the ring, we kind of think, you know, could it be him? Because he could be a vampire. And so he says the North Carolina Police Department and him don't know what happened. We also find out that he's been moving around a lot because his family's from Texas. He was born and raised in Boston, but he was with his wife in North Carolina, but now he's in Virginia. And, you know, vampires are a species that move around a lot because if they stay in the same place for too long, one, people could get suspicious. People might find out. And two, if they stay for too long, obviously because they don't age, people will suss out something. So it's kind of sketchy that he's been moving around so much. And then he says that he moved to Mystic Falls because of the rich history. He was interested in it. So maybe there's a secret motive behind Alaric coming to Mystic Falls as well. Technically, I can't really say anything because I say that Alaric's moved around to different states when I've been living in three different countries. So yeah, maybe I shouldn't judge about that. But the fact that he moved to Mystic Falls because of the history, it's something that we, you know, we think could be suspicious. So Caroline goes to Bonnie and she, you know, she apologizes. She says like the whole woo-woo stuff, the whole supernatural thing, it's just not her. She doesn't believe in those kind of things. But she does say that if you do, that she's okay with it. She's all in, on board. So Caroline is actually more understanding than we expected. You know, I did mention how in like episode 1 and episode 3, I think I really strongly dislike Caroline in those episodes. And in the early episodes, I just really didn't like how she treated Elena, how her attitude was towards Elena. But she was actually okay in this episode. And I think it was from around this point where I actually started to like Caroline, or at least my dislike for her decreased. And in the later seasons, I really, really end up loving her character. She's a fan favorite. You know, some people actually, the majority of viewers, I would say, actually maybe like Caroline more than Elena, maybe. So that's how popular she becomes. So Caroline is telling Bonnie that she sort of considers Bonnie her best friend. To me, it does seem like Elena and Bonnie have more of a bond than Bonnie and Caroline, to be honest. And it also seems like, you know, in the trio, Bonnie's the kind of the one in the middle that Elaine and Caroline each consider them closer with. She's the one that like is sticking them together. And this is what I don't like about trios, is one always does seem to, you know, get left out. Caroline suggests that they should do a seance, which is obviously a bad idea. You know, in horror movies and TV series, whenever they conduct a seance, you can always tell that something bad is going to happen. And they actually end up agreeing and holding a seance. So they kind of ask Emily, if you're there, give us a sign. The candles flicker, the flame gets stronger. And then Caroline says, if you're among us, Emily, show us another sign. And then the window flies open, the lights all go out, and then the necklace is gone when the lights are back on. So Stefan and Damon are also having some bonding time together. So they're out playing football. And of course, in episode 6 flashback, we see that Damon taught him the game. So it was really sweet to kind of see them playing that game again after so many years. But this time they vamp speed when playing it. I think Damon is actually enjoying spending this time with Stefan. But at the same time, he knows that there's a hidden motive behind Stefan being so nice and fun with him and actually spending time with him. So Stefan says to Damon that it wasn't real with Catherine. She compelled them, but Damon just doesn't want to have to deal with that conversation right now. So Stefan just goes straight ahead and asks what Damon wants with the crystal. Damon says at first that he could rip his heart out and not even think twice about it. Stefan says, we heard that before. And Stefan and we, the viewers, also know that Damon is not going to do that. By now, we kind of see that no matter how impulsive and cold Damon is, he can't and he won't kill Stefan. So Damon finally gives the big reveal of why he came back to Mystic Falls. And it's because he plans on bringing back Catherine, so resurrecting Catherine. So the seance was very short-lived and, you know, the necklace is gone. So Elena initially says, you know, fun is over, give it back. So she initially thinks that Caroline pulled a prank or some sort of revenge, but I think she wouldn't go that far. And Caroline denies it. And Elena looks up and she sees a shadow of Emily. Well, she doesn't know it's Emily, of course, but she sees like a shadow walking by. Bonnie finds the crystal laying on the bathroom floor. So she goes in to grab it. And the bathroom door just shuts by itself out of nowhere. And, you know, Bonnie's trying to open it. She can't get out. The door doesn't open from Elena and Caroline's side either. The lights are all flickering. It's like a full-on horror movie. Like, this was really scary. It was a really freaky scene. The door finally opens with Bonnie saying that she's fine. So Caroline thinks, you know, Bonnie's faking it. She's so done with it. She walks off. But I think Elena can tell that something is off with Bonnie. And in the mirror reflection, we see Emily Bennett. So basically in this moment in the bathroom, Bonnie got possessed by Emily. Meanwhile, back to Stefan and Damon. So Damon is talking more about the story of this crystal. So he said that back in 1864, he went to Emily to make a deal with her to protect Catherine. So basically, Emily did this spell with the crystal. So although the vampires were burnt inside the church, there's basically a tomb underneath this church. The spell sealed them to the tomb to protect them. Basically, Catherine wasn't burnt. So she's not dead. After all these years, she's not dead. She's just desiccated down there because she hasn't drank blood in so long. Damon mentions that witches are able to use celestial events to draw more energy into their magic. So Emily used a comet back in 1864. So in order for this crystal to work again, the comet had to return. You know, kind of links to season 1, episode 2, The Night of the Comet. That was when the energy was returned to the crystal. So Damon literally waited for 150 plus years to be reunited with Catherine. So say what you want about him. You know, he's impulsive, he's cold-hearted, but he is very committed. He's waited this long to finally be reunited with his love. So the other end of the deal was basically Emily wanted Damon to make sure that Emily's lineage survives. Because, you know, of course, in the past, the witches were persecuted in the past as well. You know, we've seen the Salem witch trials and so on. Witches were also persecuted. So therefore, even though Damon wants to just grab the necklace of Bonnie or threaten her, he technically can't kill Bonnie because he's keeping up his end of the deal. Back at the Gilbert house, Caroline is really pissed off. She's starting to think that the whole thing was all fake. So she's starting to think the whole thing was fake, that Bonnie and Lena are pulling a prank on her. And Bonnie/Emily is saying, thank you for having me. And she says she's going back to where it all began. And her hands is kind of like laid in front of her like Emily was in the past. We see in the scenes where Emily holds her hands in front of her. And I think like all maids of that era kind of had the same posture. So Elena figures it out and she shouts, Emily. And then Bonnie/Emily looks behind and says that she won't let him have it. It must be destroyed. So she's obviously talking about the crystal. She needs to destroy the crystal. But we literally just heard that Damon had a deal with Emily. So basically, Emily has left and Elena and Caroline trying to open the door, but it just doesn't open. And then it finally opens because Jeremy opens it from the other side. He's like, what the hell? And Caroline says she's out of here. She's done with it. And she just runs off. I think she's really freaked out. So Elena calls up Stefan and she says that Emily is possessing Bonnie. The possessed Bonnie is saying that she has to destroy the crystal. So Stefan asks where Elena thinks that Emily/Bonnie might have gone. Damon can literally vamp here. You know, we know by now that vampires have special hearing. So he's going to be able to hear the whole phone call. And Elena says the Fells Church. The surname Fell should ring a bell because it's one of the founders' family's names, and of course Logan Fell. Logan Fell is a Fell as well. So not only have they always been TV reporters, it looks like they also own the church. But it's like a church ruin, so I guess they have a new church in Mystic Falls now. The Mystic Falls, or like Vampire Diaries plot, they're very consistent with like their family history. So it's really interesting to find these connections throughout the episodes. So of course, because Damon's vamp here, the whole conversation, you know, when Stefan ends the convo and he looks behind, Damon is already gone. So Damon has already caught up with Emily, and Emily is saying that things are different now. She can't keep up the deal. She has to protect her family. And Damon tries to attack her, but Emily pushes him to the tree and he's stabbed to the tree, basically. So even though the body is Bonnie because she's being possessed by Emily. She has Emily's witch powers now. Jeremy's getting out his dad's stuff for the history project, and Jenna has come back with Alaric, and we see a scene of Alaric kind of like looking up at the doorframe. You know, this is a second vampire sign because we've seen this with Stefan, we've seen it with Vicky as well when she was trying to get into her house, how they have to be invited in. So this is another sign that they try to throw us to imply that Alaric could be a vampire. And Jenna is saying she won't invite him in. So yeah, it looks like he could be a vampire. And we see a close-up of Jeremy opening up a diary of one of his ancestors. This ancestor is called Jonathan Gilbert. And funnily enough, the date says 1864. So it really seems like all these families have a very close history together. You know, we found the connection between Bonnie's ancestor, Emily Bennett, with Stefan, Damon, and Catherine. So now the Gilbert family could also have a connection as well. So it could be that they were involved or they knew about vampires. And another question is, will Jeremy find out about vampires and what will happen to his compulsion? We are back in the woods and Stefan is helping Damon off the tree, and then he's complaining that this is why he feeds on people, because obviously on an animal diet he's not going to be as strong, he's weaker, easily to get injured. And Emily is saying that she won't unleash them into this world, and Stefan is like, wait, hang on a second, them? Because he thinks that it's just Catherine that is in the tomb that has been protected. And Emily is saying, to save her, I had to save them. Here we find out that Damon knew about it, but he purposely kept this knowledge from Stefan. So there's 27 vampires in this tomb. So if Emily manages to unseal it, 27 vampires are going to be let loose in Mystic Falls, and it's going to be chaos because, one, they are super hungry. They were desiccated for over 150 years. Secondly, they probably want to seek revenge on this town because the town's ancestors were what put them there in the first place, and three, they're vampires. What can you expect? Damon is saying that the town deserves it. So, of course, the number one reason that he wants Emily to unseal the tomb is to be reunited with Catherine, but the second reason is he also wants revenge on the town for doing it this to them in the first place. And Emily, but Damon and Stefan can't stop Emily. Emily shouts Incendia and flames pop up. So this is the first use of Incendia in the TVD series. Incendia is a very common spell. It's used when they want to light something up on fire. So you will hear this spell a lot. It's one of the more simple spells. Like, the spells later on in the series are so long that I can't even like copy them. So the one word spells, it's easy to remember. And Emily throws the necklace up in the air and the crystal is destroyed. And after the flames are burnt out, Emily leaves Bonnie's body and Bonnie's no longer possessed. She's back to herself. And we see Damon's eyes change and he vamp speeds to Bonnie, feeds on her, and she's practically on the verge of dying. But luckily, Stefan is there to heal her with his blood, so her neck heals. So I guess from Damon's point of view, you know, Damon is obviously perceived as a villain. He's done countless amount of things which would make him a villain, but at the same time, a deal was a deal. So he protected Emily's lineage until now, but because Emily broke that promise, he doesn't care anymore. He wants revenge. To take a break from the dark scenes, we have a scene of Caroline and Matt. And Matt has gotten in through the window of Caroline's room. And this is such a dangerous trope that I really dislike. You know, it's such a cheesy scene that we often see in like romantic movies and TV series where the guy comes in through the window. I really don't like this because it's so dangerous to just keep your window open if you're living on the first floor, especially. Like, I would never, never leave my window open if I was living in a house. I mean, if it's a condo or like an apartment, it's probably safe if it's high up. But yeah, that's just a trope that is so dangerous, and it's what usually gets the people murdered. So anyways, Matt is saying that he doesn't like Caroline. He never did. But it was nice cuddling her. So basically, he feels alone as well. So it was nice to have someone there, I guess, because, you know, Matt literally has no family. So his mom is gone off with some boyfriend. Sister's absent. Well, of course, she's dead. He doesn't know about where his dad is and hasn't seen his dad since, I don't know, probably when he was born or something. He literally has no one. And it's really worrying and concerning. I mean, because it's a TV series, it's just, you know, brushed off on. But in real life, you know, he's still a minor, he's underage and living alone. So I don't really know how they're paying off the bills. But I really feel bad for him. Like, he literally has no one. So I guess for him, it was comforting to be with Caroline, even though they haven't been like the closest. Even though they're childhood friends, they haven't been like the closest of friends. Obviously, because the crystal has been destroyed, you know, Damon is so devastated, and he mentions to, and he reveals to Stefan that Catherine never compelled him. It was real. He knew everything. Catherine was playing with the both of them, but she compelled Stefan, whereas Damon wasn't compelled, so they probably had a different connection. And so he's truly heartbroken, and even though he was planning on unleashing 27 vampires, he can't help but feel bad for him, because he waited literally 150 plus years only to have that hope taken away from him in one moment. And Bonnie is fully healed, she's conscious, and she's really confused about Stefan and Damon. So when Stefan approaches them, Bonnie looks genuinely scared. And Elena, you know, kind of walks off to Stefan to chat with him, and she asks if Bonnie will have a chance of becoming a vampire. But Stefan says that she has to die with the blood in her system, so once it leaves it, she would be fine. So it takes about, you know, 24 hours for the blood to fully leave the system. And then Elena says that she's going to tell Bonnie everything. And Stefan says, are you sure? Well, technically, what other choice does she have? Because it's going to be difficult to make up a lie when she literally saw Stefan and Damon's faces change and then his blood healing her. And it's good that Elena will finally have someone to talk to about vampires and like all these supernatural things with. And I think Bonnie is the perfect friend to be the first to reveal to, because Bonnie's going through her stuff as well with the whole witch situation. And then Elena says that she can handle it and she wants to be with Stefan. She doesn't want him to push her away anymore. But Stefan says that he has to leave. Coming home was a mistake, and he says goodbye and he walks away. We're back to having great ballads at the end of the episode. So of course, the previous episode, that it didn't end with like a super cool ballad. It didn't end with like a super good ballad, but this episode, oh my gosh, yet again, this song really gets to your feelings. The song title was Come Back When You Can. I'll play it at the end of this episode. So while this song is playing, a lot of different scenes are happening. So the first scene is a really cute scene. It's Caroline and Matt having like a little snack party in Caroline's bedroom, and it's so sweet. Even for all the dark things that are happening, like just seeing the two of them, it's so innocent and pure when it's the two of them. It's like a cute high school TV series, and it kind of takes your mind off everything else that's happening. We see Damon heartbroken, you know, he's planning on leaving Mystic Falls. And we also have a scene of Stefan holding his diary and he's crying, and that was really good acting that we saw. We also see Elena and Bonnie crying together. You know, Elena's probably explaining everything, revealing everything to Bonnie. And, you know, at this point, you think it's such a sad ending, but of course, it's the Vampire Diaries. They have to add a cliffhanger to it as well. So, at the Gilbert house, somebody knocks at the door, and it's Logan Fell at the doorstep. And Logan says, aren't you going to invite me in? And then the episode ends. Oh my gosh, that was such a jam-packed episode. Like, I know I keep saying this, but every episode just gets better and better. The plot thickens and so much stuff happens. Like, it's hard to keep up. Like, it's unbelievable that this much happened in one episode. Like, lots of different plots are developing at the same time. So the most innocent plot line is probably that Caroline and Matt are getting closer. So maybe something could happen out of the two of them. They might become a couple. We also saw our first, like, major witch powers shown in the series. Bonnie is finally finding out about the vampires, so could this be another thing to kind of, like, make Bonnie and Elena closer and them separated from Caroline? You know, Caroline already mentioned that Bonnie and Elena tend to talk about things without her and leave her out, so this is only another thing to add to it. And also the appearance of Alaric. So we had a first appearance of Alaric. He's going to become a main character. Then we see Logan at the end. So Logan is presumably supposed to be dead. It leaves us to think, did he run away? Is he a vampire? Like, we don't know at this moment. So the way they added that cliffhanger and then the fact that he asked to be invited in, it's really sketchy. So the plot keeps getting better and better. I love how the Vampire Diaries series is written, especially for season one. I'd say the way they write it is so good. Like, for example, the comet was from episode two, but they managed to connect it to the crystal. Like, it's so well thought out. The later seasons, I'd say some things might be rushed. I don't know. But yeah, the writing for season one is really, really good. Although the crystal was very short-lived, it was literally destroyed in one episode. It is still the beginning of the Tomb chapter. Like I mentioned, the Vampire Diaries tends to separate the series into different chapters. So we had the Vicky chapter from episode 1 to episode 8. It was episode 7. And then we have the beginning of the Tomb chapter. So does that mean that it hasn't ended yet? Because they've shown flashback scenes of Catherine, and she's been such a main part of Damon and Stefan's lives. So surely they wouldn't just rule her out. There must be a way that this tomb is opened, or a way for us to see Catherine. And, you know, I did say that I like Catherine. She's a really cool villain, so you will see more of her. So it's really hard to choose my favorite and least favorite characters. I'm going to have to say for my least favorite character, it would be Emily, just because she really freaked me out. Like, when I first watched the episode, I was really, really freaked out by the seance, by Emily appearing out of nowhere, saying, help me. Like, it was really creepy. It was like I was watching a horror movie. And even when I rewatch it, it gives me creeps. But it's not just the creepy factor, it's also the fact that she doesn't really care for Bonnie's well-being, because she would know that by her breaking the deal and destroying the crystal, it would leave Bonnie's life in hanging. She could have been killed by Damon. Like, she literally was going to be killed by Damon if Stefan wasn't there. So for someone that says she wants her lineage to be protected, she wants to protect her family, she didn't really do anything to protect Bonnie, which really got to me. For favorite characters, oh my gosh, this is so difficult. Like, I can't choose one favorite character. Oh, okay. And this is like an ongoing theme for the Vampire Diaries episodes. I mean, I mentioned to you before how even the hateable characters, even the villains, they all have such strong backstories. You really feel for all of the characters. So there's always like one or two villains that you don't like in each episode. But for favorite characters, it's so hard to narrow down to just one. I guess the main characters were Stefan, Damon, Elena, and Bonnie. And I did also like Caroline, but she's not my favorite. But I'd say I've lightened up to her more. For Stefan and Damon, it's like, Damon, even though he's been a villain, I felt really bad for him. And the fact that he waited for so long to be reunited with Catherine, only for that to be taken away from him, and like, I felt bad for him. And Stefan's acting at the end got me to feel sorry for him as well. And Elena as well, she was really heartbroken over Stefan. And then Bonnie, of course, she was the main character of this episode. You know, she was literally possessed by Emily. She nearly got killed by Damon, and now she got healed by Stefan, and now she's finding out about vampires. So she went through a lot. So those four, I suppose, are my favorite characters. Oh my gosh, this episode was so good. And oh, I just want to hurry and watch the next episode. So the next episode is episode 10. The episode title is called The Turning Point. And just to give you a heads up, for this podcast, I'm kind of thinking of following the original TVD schedule. They took a mini break after episode 10. I think it was like a winter break. So I'm thinking of taking maybe 1 or 2 weeks break from this podcast. Just because, like, I've been doing it every week, and like, I do juggle YouTube, Instagram, my actual work, housework, personal life with, you know, this. And although I really enjoy doing it, it's good to take a break and basically plan for more future episodes. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a 1 week or a 2 week break. I will have decided that by next week. So in next week's episode, I'll let you know. But I do want to say, I can't believe that we're going to reach episode 10. It's crazy how fast the time has passed. I started this podcast in February or the end of January, I think. So it's just so crazy. It's been so fun to rewatch The Vampire Diaries and to talk about my passion. And I just want to thank you again to anyone who has been listening to this podcast. And for this week's episode, my favorite song was Come Back When You Can by Barcelona. So we will end this episode with this song. So thank you for listening. And here is the song.